Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Did you welcome the guest of honor, Jesus Christ? Did you welcome him in the house? He is in the house. Oh, I think he's worth more than that. I think his presence is worth much more than that. Because Christ is in the house. And that's why we gather. By the way, it's not so that we can check the box. You know, it's not so we can check the box. It really is not. I went to church, did my thing, you know, got it done, did my religious thing for the week. Please never feel that way about your church family. Never feel that way, because this is a special gathering of people. And I've got stories about some of the people I'm going to tell here. I worked y'all in. Freddie, you're part of today. Freddie and Kay. Isn't it great? Got Kay and Freddie and Caitlin in the house. It's not an accident that Lowell and John are here today. Because the last time they were here, I talked about the impact the Grissoms have had on my life and on my family's life down through the years. It's called impact. Real impact. And that's what I want to talk with you about today. This whole idea of impacting people. Now, have you read the front of the bulletin? The title of the message? The title of the message is, go ahead and hand it to me. It is basically, Lord, why don't, this will be, by the way, I'm going to wrap up the Lord, Why Do I series today. We're going to wrap it up. I may revisit it in the future, because there's a lot of Lord, Why Do I's. If you've lived any kind of length in life, you're going to ask yourself, Lord, why do I? I know this, we always ask him, Lord, why do you? Fill in the blank. You know, we do that a lot. But we're going to wrap up the Lord, why do I fail to influence people? This is kind of the wrap up just for today. And I've learned something through the years, and I've lived it. I didn't just learn it. I actually lived it. How many of you know you actually learn something when you live it? You actually really do learn more by living an experience than somebody in a classroom teaching you theory. How many of you went to college? How many of you, just raise your hand, how many of you, okay, you got your hands up. How many of you learned, that was a lot of theory? You know, that was a lot of theory. Then you hit life. And all of a sudden you realize, I hardly use much of what I learned in college. I use very little, because it was theory. It was a base of theory, of substance, most of it theory. and you, when you get out in life, you know, it's like taking a marriage course. You know, the greatest marriage course you'll ever take is the one that be married 40 years and live through it. Live through it. And you'll learn what it is to do a successful marriage. Now, successful marriages have failures along the way. Honest to God, some of the most successful marriages that I have ever known had failures along the way. Blow-ups. Like the first time when Gina and I were just married a few years, the first time I was raised with three boys, had no rules, had no, you know, dad gave us great rules as far as, you know, our conduct and things like that. But basically we didn't really have a curfew. Just my mom's basic rule was, don't wake me up when you come in. You know, it was really because that we were older boys. And so I didn't know that you had to always call somebody to tell them where you were. And the group that I sang with years ago, we were practicing up at Old First Assembly of God in St. Charles. I lived down in South County at Tesson Ferry in 270. And my mom and dad still lived, and BJ, my older brother, lived with them at Maryland Heights there at Dorset Road in 270. And we finished our practice, and it was a Tuesday night, and I'm still out on the parking lot. We're just having this great conversation about what God was doing in the group and the lives of the members of the group. We had this great conversation, and about 3 a.m. we left. Well, when I got home, I met Jesus at the door. I had a come to Jesus meeting at the front door. Where have you been? You know, I've never been asked that. Now, I'd never been asked that before. Where have you been? I said, I was at Beth Allaire's practice. That ends at 10. And I've got your brother looking up and down 270. My brother was looking in every ditch on 270 up and down from South County. Hey, she called the state patrol. See, I learned something that nobody could have taught me in marriage courses. I'm convinced nobody taught in a marriage course that you actually have to, well, I know it's called communication, but that's too simple of a word. So just so you know, life teaches you. I've never done that since. How many of you know I have never done that since? So learn by my mistakes if you're young in marriage. Don't ever stay on St. Charles River Church's parking lot till 3 a.m. without calling your wife. By the way, there were no cell phones back then, so the phones were all locked in the church. You all know that, right? There were no cell phones. So I would have had to have broken and entered my own church in order to call Gina. So that was still my feeble excuse. I couldn't get to a phone. And the truth is, I never thought about it. How's that? 37 years later, I never thought about it. But I'm up here, so she can't get me right now. So anyway, what we want to talk about is life impact, though. Actually impacting others' lives. And I want to ask you this. There's a couple questions that I want to ask you first about, Lord, why do I fail to influence people? One of the things I want to talk to you about is recognizing that we will never have, how many know you will never influence someone if you don't have credibility in their life? I mean, seriously, I'm not picking on a faith walk here. Understand that. Please understand it. I'm not picking on a faith walk. But when someone of religious history and nature shows up at your door in twos with white shirts on and white ties, black pants, two bikes tied to the stop sign, how many know that when they knock on your door, they're probably not going to influence you away from your faith? Because, you see, there's no hot connection there. There's not even a warm connection there. There's not an ounce of what? Credibility in the relationship for them to say, now listen to me. I have the answer. And that's where many of us fail to actually influence people, because what we've not realized is with a lot of our relationships, we actually think they're friends, and we have this thing called Facebook that tells us we can have 1,000 friends and never have met one of them. Never have an ounce of real impact in their lives. And yet, we tell their stories. We adopt their hurts and their wounds, and we'll tell them. Now, I actually do remember the day where you actually could write a letter. It was called a pen pal. Okay, I remember that. So I'm not negating that. There are times you can actually form some level of connection to someone through the years. So we don't want to negate that. But the reality is, there's this. We've bought into this thing. We actually have friends. Now, we don't know them. And okay, come off of the Facebook thing for a second. That's all I'm going to say about Facebook, unless I say something else. Okay. But this idea that we can actually influence someone without actually having some kind of relationship that brings credibility. Because credibility is, through the years, what brings you to someone walking up to you and saying, I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time. I've got some problems in my life. I had a gentleman years ago, he no longer attends this church, they've moved out of the area. I spent several years with him, and he came into my office on a Sunday morning. He said, I learned, by the way, don't hang out in my office on Sunday morning. I learned that. So I'm out here with you. So that's why, you'll never see me in my office. You just won't. But this gentleman came to me and said, I need to talk with you. And he laid this truth on me. He said, I've never shared this with anybody in my life. My wife doesn't even know it. I was molested as a child. I'm very sensitive to the fact we have children in the room. I'm not going to get graphic. Okay. So, but he said, I was molested as a child. And it's impacted me all of my life. Man was 45 years of age when he told that to me. That comes through years of sitting and with someone and eating with someone and laughing with someone and crying with someone and developing relationships. It's what Pastor Mike is doing with the men's ministries, and these guys are coming together and actually doing real life and having these discussions about dropping the wall and saying, I remember one night when I was actually in a meeting that Pastor Carl was overseeing, an extension of the men's ministry, and I was able to say some things that I needed to say that night that no one else in this church had ever heard about things that had really hurt through the years. It was really a cool thing to be able to just do life. And as we walked out of that room, those guys came to me, a lot of them did, and said, that's the most real I've ever felt a pastor got with me. Thank you for that. You know, it's real life. It's called credibility. And we get in each other's lives, and we actually, at some point, have the opportunity of influence. And I want to read to you from the Word about that. I'm actually going to use the Bible today. But this is a long setup here. You got to get to. By the way, Pat and Charlie are in the house again. I love Pat and Charlie are in the house. To see, that influences me to be happy. When Kay and Caitlin and Freddie walk in the house, I get happy. When y'all walk in the house, I get happy. It influences me. It does things. It impacts me. I want to ask you these two questions. First of all, in order to have influence with somebody, we know that we have to have credibility now. We've kind of established that there has to be a level of credibility that you are worth listening to. You have something to bring to the table, and you can actually influence me along the way. So I'm going to listen. In order to do that, though, this question, at least one of them, do you love people enough to influence them? We have to ask ourselves that question. Do I love people enough to actually want to influence people? And I'm not just talking about in faith, but obviously as Christians, that's why we gather here to talk about influencing people in the faith. That's why Pastor Mike wants to gather these guys here in the early part of November, or what is the dates? 8th through the 10th. And Carlisle, at Lake Carlisle, if you've not signed up yet, I don't know if there's still room or not. I'm going to just say this. We'll figure out what to do. But guys, there's this conference that's coming up. Pastor Mike has all the information. He can talk to you about it. He'll give you all of that, get you signed up, and then I'll get in trouble if there's not enough room. But anyway. But there's this whole thing that we do that's called life, and we have to determine if in our lives do we love people enough to influence them. The second question is, do we believe people are worth influencing? You see, I go through conversation after conversation with people, and not just here at this church. How many know Gina and I actually pastor a church about, and I'm not exaggerating, we pastor a church about five times this size. Y'all understand, most of the people that we actually have the opportunity to pastor actually don't even attend this church. Because God's given us favor through the years. God gave me the wisest move I've ever made, and that was marrying Gina as a life partner in faith. And we actually believe in influencing people for Jesus Christ. Most of those people will never know that I'm a pastor. You know that too, because I've shared that with you. Most of them will never know that I'm a pastor, because the idea isn't for me to be brought into the conversation as something. The idea is for Christ to be made who he is. I mean, for us to recognize him for who he is. And so we have the privilege of being in the right place at the right time. And I want to read to you quickly a story about, well, since you want the word, I'm going to give it to you. Turn in your Bibles. Y'all sitting there looking at me, is he going to get into the Bible? Here we go. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 19. Very well-known story. I love it because we all sang about Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. How many remember that song in kids' church? See, the Baptist taught us that, for crying out loud. Baptist wrote all those songs. You know, that's just, those are great little songs down through the ages. The AG picked it up because we were Baptists, you know. And so we just all, that's why I tell Pastor Mike all the time. That's why I stack my deck with Baptist pastors. Because you guys get a lot of things. You had it before we did. Anyway, this is a great story. It's a great story. I love it because it really says something about Jesus going in the, just, you know, he's trucking along. How many know Jesus lived a real life? He didn't float on the cloud. Well, he did when he went up, but I mean, he didn't just kind of float along and ask everybody and you know, bow down and worship me. Here I am. He didn't do that. He just lived life, didn't he, Earl? He just lived life. Now listen to this story, and I want to kind of break this down a little bit. And keep in mind, this is about impacting people, really impacting people, and specifically into the eternal realm. Okay? Here we go. If you don't know the story of Zacchaeus, here he is. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. He passed through. Do you know Jesus never went more than 200 miles from his hometown? He never went more than, get this, I'm not saying this disrespectfully, but this guy never left more than 200 miles away from his home, but he impacted the world through his life, his teaching. He impacted the world calendar. 2,000 years later, we're still saying B.C. and A.D., I mean, think of the impact. Talk about a life of impact. And by the way, the first 30 years, he wasn't even in ministry. It's the last 3 years that he was in. 3 years. Think of the influence around the world. I love when people say, when the question is asked, Jesse Waters one time, and I just think it's funny when they ask questions on college campuses, what religion was Jesus? And half the college students will say, oh, he was a Christian. Go back and read history. What ninth grade teacher didn't teach you history? What curriculum got rewritten, perhaps, that didn't teach you history? Jesus was Jewish. By the way, stop right here. Father for the Jewish community, the Hebrew community throughout America and throughout the world. God, healing in the name of Jesus. Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua. Healing for the Jewish community in the name of Yeshua. I ask you, Father, you are the great Yahweh, you are the great Yeshua. We ask that you would bring healing to them after the shooting yesterday in the Pittsburgh synagogue. We bless your name, Father. We bless Israel. We pray for Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We say, yes, Lord, you are truly the Jewish community is the children of God, and they are the original children of God, and they are still the people of God. And we say, yes, Lord, bless Jerusalem and all the Hebrew community and family that are so deeply wounded around the world. And every believer in Jesus Christ in this room said, amen. Yes, Lord God. So here Jesus is entering Jericho, and he was just passing through. This is just but I want you to know he had purpose for passing through. You're going to find out. If you don't know the story, you're going to find out he had purpose. He gives it away. He tips us to his purpose because of something he knew. And he acted on. It said, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector. How many of you work for the IRS? I want to know before I say anything else. Just want to make sure before I say anything else. Is this being recorded? Yes, it is. That'll be the only point we edit. Okay. So he works for the IRS. Now you get the picture. Zacchaeus. IRS. Everybody loves him, right? Okay, here we go. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. How do you think he got there? He wanted to see who Jesus was. There's a lot of people wanting to see who the real Jesus is, by the way. You see, Zacchaeus had heard a lot of things. There's no doubt about it, or he wouldn't have been curious. But he wanted to see for himself who the real Jesus was. Was he the guy that really could make the lame walk? Would he do any of his, and I'm going to say it this way, would he do any tricks? If I show up today and I watch him, will somebody get a leg that doesn't have a leg? Will somebody get sight that we know is blind? He's wanting to see who Jesus really was. And he says, but being a short man, I can kind of relate to that. I used to wear 3-inch heels when I was in 7th and 8th and 9th grade, back in the day of disco. Okay, why you laugh? We all did back in that day. We all wore 3-inch heels. I was a 6'3" guy. Actually, 6'2". Anyway. He was a short little guy, a wee little man, remember? We went Irish in that song. The Baptists went Irish for some reason in that song. He was a wee little man, was he? All of a sudden, all the Baptist Irish. We wanted to see he wanted to see who Jesus really was. But being a short man, see, he couldn't see through the crowd. I've covered this with you in the past. He couldn't see because there were obstacles in the way. By the way, some of the major obstacles in people's lives to finding out who the real Jesus is are religious people. We can be the greatest obstacles in people's lives because sometimes, and I won't belabor the point, sometimes we're mean. Sometimes we're harshly judgmental. You've been judged, haven't you? I've been judged by other Christians. I gave you the examples last week. I've been judged so many times because I didn't do this or I did do that or I didn't have a tie on or I went to a movie. I've been judged so many times. Pastor Barry, do you go to R-rated movies? I choose movies well, with good judgment. If I can't see it with my wife, the answer is no. I don't see any movie. But I've been judged by, there's this top 10 questionnaire. Do you do what I think you should do as a pastor? Had a guy get mad at me one time, a little bit mad at me, because he was telling me that this church he went to, the pastor didn't have on his priestly robe to serve communion. That he threw it on the front row and didn't fold it neatly. He said, what do you wear, Pastor Barry? At that time I said, well, I wore jeans most of the time. Why? I just went from here to way down in the sewer because he judged me that I don't take communion seriously. That's not true. Listen to me. God looks at the heart. He looks at the heart of a man. He's not listening to the lips. He's looking at the heart. Because the lips may be saying all the right things and the heart is wrong. But he goes on to say, he said he couldn't see because of the crowd. There were obstacles in his way. Don't we all pray, Lord, don't let me be an obstacle to somebody seeing really who you are. Don't let me be an obstacle. Don't let my attitude, the words that I say, the judgment that I reign over people. How many of you know that Jesus is the judge? That God himself is the judge and no man is the judge. We don't judge. Isn't that a righteously cool thing? It's a very cool thing. It's a freeing thing. But he goes on to say, here it was. He wanted to see who Jesus really was, but he could not because he was short, because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. He actually kind of read which way Jesus was going, kind of figured a way that he could get a good spot, and he climbed up into the tree. The next verse says, when Jesus reached the spot, I gotta stop there. How many know that God has a spot that he's bringing you to? When Jesus reached the spot, didn't say a spot, when he reached the spot of influence. When we go through life every day, if we're not aware, you see, Jesus had a purpose for being in that spot. And he reveals it in the next sentence. He goes on to say, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. He was in the spot that God had provided for Zacchaeus. He was in the spot that God prepared Jesus to come to get onto Zacchaeus' life journey. He boarded the airplane. At the same time, Zacchaeus got on the airplane of faith journey. Now get this picture. I'm in an airport, and I know that there's a rumor that I'm gone every once in a while. But somebody has to testify I'm here more than I'm away. But I'm on an airplane at 5 something in the morning. I'm going through security here in St. Louis. And I see this good-looking Puerto Rican headed down towards me in the air, in the runway, and not in the concourse. Thank God it wasn't a runway. In the concourse. So, don't you just pity me sometimes? Just a little bit. It's okay. That's okay. My wife prays for me the whole time. She sweats through the whole thing. Never knows what I'm going to say. But I see Freddie. And he's got his head down. He's trying to hide from me. I know I got my coffee. Freddie's going over to Starbucks. It was Concourse C. And so there's, he says, dude, it's Hispanic. It's cross cultural. Dude in Espanol and in English is the same word. Dude, he says, what are you doing here? And I began to tell him about what I was going to do down in Panama. And he says, Kay and I, we're over here. We're going to see my mother in Puerto Rico. Let me show you that picture. Give me that picture in the terminal. Do we have that picture available? Here we go. There it is. So we're sitting. I'm thinking, what airplane are you on? Just keep it at that one right there. I said, what airplane are you on? He said, well, we're going to Miami. I said, I'm going to Miami. What time you leave? He said, now. I said, me too. We're on the same flight? Come on. Are you serious? We're on the same flight? I said, what seat are you in? Flip to the next picture. Now, if you think there are accidents that happen in your life, I've got news. Keep that up there just for a second. When Freddie and Kay got to the spot, you grab that. Grab that. Your life has purpose. Every moment of your life has a spot, and you're standing in a spot. And when Kay and Freddie landed in the spot, in that terminal where I was coming along, and I landed in the spot, it wasn't just because we're good friends. If you only knew the amazing conversation I needed to have for 2.5 hours on the way to Miami that day. I needed encouragement. I needed someone to speak into me. Believe it or not, they were the Jesus of the day. And I know you believe it because you know Kay and Freddie. They were my Jesus that day. I'm the dude that's just kind of, dude, English, Espanol. I'm the dude that's going through the terminal just alone. Gonna sit on an airplane alone for 2.5 hours and then 4 hours on the way to Panama. And when I got to the spot, my Jesus was already there. There ain't no accidental gatherings at 5:30 in the morning at St. Louis Lambert Airport, the most boring airport in the United States of America. Oh man, praise God. It was just a God appointment. I don't believe in coincidences. Because I have had that happen more times. There was a young man that had given his life to Christ in this church years ago. Got saved, baptized in the Spirit in our youth group years ago. His parents got mad at me because of it. They didn't attend the church. They're mad at me. Because this kid is praying in the Spirit. They were mad at me. So, long story short, I hadn't seen him for years. They made him stop attending. Pulled him away. I'm going through Miami International Airport about 7 years after he left. I'm just trucking through Miami International Airport and I hear, Barry! Well, that's not uncommon for me to hear that. I hear that. People teasing me, the Barry Gibb thing. I hear that. But this guy says, Pastor Barry! Now I knew I was onto somebody. And I turned around and there stood this young man that had given his life to Jesus Christ. I said, what are you doing here? He said, I'm on my way back. I'm going back to O'Fallon, da, da, da. You know, he tells me, I said, well, what flight are you on? He said, any name, flight, you know, whatever it was. I said, that's my flight. I said, what seat you got? You getting the picture? I said, well, he's sitting right next to me on the aisle. And for 2.5 hours, I was able to just love on him and talk to him about his faith walk. Don't give up on that. Don't give up on that. Don't give up on that. I was leaving Panama. The second to last time I left Panama, I'm in the airport. You guys have been in the Panama airport with me. You guys, there's this one wing. We're always in this one wing because going back to American Airlines has this one wing. I'm in this airport and there's a young man there. He is an atheist, self-professed atheist. And we were just standing there talking. So I talked to him for about 1.5 hours in the terminal. And I've got a picture of him in my phone. But we were standing for about 1.5 hours just talking about faith. And I said, well, how did you come to the faith of no faith in God? How did you? Because that's a faith. That's a faith. I said, you are a person of faith. And I admire that. Remember Paul at Mars Hill when he said to all of the false God worshipers, he looked at all of those false God worshipers and he said, instead of condemning them, you know, remember what he said to them? I see you're a people of great faith. He acknowledged something. He honored their value system. And so I said, how did you come to faith that there was no faith to be given to a God? And we just sat and we talked, had that great conversation. And he said, well, how did you come to believe in God? Well, I'm glad you asked that. waiting an hour and a half for you. And then, we got to get on the plane. You know, it's time to board the plane. I said, hey, his name was Zach. I said, hey, Zach, what seat were you sitting? There was a woman between us. I was at the window, which I never take the window, but I was at the window. This woman sitting between us that was an amazingly afraid woman of flying. Let me just say that. And then there was Zach. So I had the chance. She was a person that was trying to pray. So I reached over and I was talking to her about faith and trusting God. And here's Zach having to listen to this conversation again. And after about halfway back to St. Louis, I lean over. I said, hey, Zach, do you think this is an accident that I'm sitting by you? God has a plan for your life, Zach. I want your phone number. I want your phone number. I still to this day send Zach just a portion of scripture, Jeremiah 29:11 or something, to encourage his faith. You see, when Jesus came to the spot of influence is what I'm hoping we'll all grab. Every one of us fly through life and we think here's what we have. We have a checklist today. I got to get by the bank. I got to get this, deposit made, and I've got to get these things done. I'm developing this at work, and that is exactly where the enemy wants us, distracted away from the most valuable creation that God ever made, and that's people. And look at the impact. I'm going to finish the story here real quick. Look at the impact. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus. He actually looked at him. He acknowledged him. People need to be acknowledged. One of the great opportunities that Gina and I are just determined to do is to actually find out people's names when we're out in public. What is your name? And then we call them by their name because, you see, they're valuable. Are they valuable enough to influence? Well, today Gina is actually mentoring a young woman that is a server in local restaurants. Actually, now she's actually working in a ministry as well. And she's asked Gina to be her mentor, her spiritual mentor in faith, a godly young lady. But what an opportunity. She finally came to us at this restaurant and said, would you do dinner with us, with me, sometime? Now, I want you to know, we're not handing cards out. I don't hand tracts out. I think tracts, don't get me wrong, if God's giving you amazing tracts that work for you, you keep handing them out. If they're anointed and if you're anointed to hand, I use all methods. Anything that works, I use. But I don't hand people tracts. I want to get in their life. You understand? That's the track. The track of Jesus. The whole eye, we care enough about you to actually be involved in your life. And he goes on to say, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. He invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house. And this is what transparent or translation here. I'm getting in your life big time today. Because you see, here's what you get, the picture, the social picture. You see, everybody out here is poor, and you're the one that's hurt them. And I'm going to your house, your big house. I'm going to see your furniture. I'm going to see your Rolls Royce of a horse. I'm going to see what you've ripped these people off of. I'm getting in your life today. There's some accountability going to happen in your life today. I'm going to influence you today. You think he didn't influence him? Here's what the story says. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Somebody actually cares about me. The tough guy, the IRS tough guy, the guy that rips everybody off, needs somebody to care about him, to influence him. Came down immediately, and all the people saw this and began to mutter. Get ready to be muttered about if you're hanging out in a bar, influencing people for Jesus. My grandfather, 1957, went into a bar in Steelville, just outside of Steelville, Missouri. He'd go in there and he preached. I mean, he got permission from the bar owner, but he preached the gospel. There's a lot of mutterers back in those days. Still are a lot of mutterers. They're licensed, actually, by the state of Missouri. We got mutterers who have doctorate degrees and bachelor degrees and all kinds of degrees in muttering. Because it's just easier to complain about why they're doing that, because I'm not doing anything. My grandfather goes in and there's a young dude in there. They were dudes back then too. Young dude in this bar. He hears that story. 40 years later, probably. 30 years later. Don Ives walks into a church at Calvary Assembly of God in Cuba, Missouri. This man's son, my uncle, was Marvin Ivy's church, my uncle's church, gives his life to Jesus Christ. And he told the story to my dad that the first time he ever heard the gospel was from Jesse Ivy, Pastor Jesse Ivy, in a bar outside of Steelville, Missouri. And he never forgot that message. And he wanted to come back. And he knew Marvin. He had grown up with Marvin. They had been friends. And Don was never a believer. His daughter and grandchild attend this church on occasion. They're here in the area. And they love the fact that my grandfather sowed a seed. What's the word say? Some people sow. Some people water. Some people do the harvesting. But God does the harvest. Here's the truth. We all have a spot to be in at some time. And it will be an influential spot. But we actually have to care enough about people. We actually have to love people enough and believe they're valuable enough to actually see that they are there in the tree for us to see. It wasn't just for, you know, him up there to get the view of Jesus. Zacchaeus gets up in this view for Jesus to see. And people get in our lives all the time for us to see. And we fail to see. You say, I've actually had people say, but Barry, I don't know the Bible well. Neither did I until I had to actually start using it. Do you get the picture? Until I was going to pass a math test, I didn't study math. I've never known anybody that passed a test that they hadn't had to prepare for. Let me tell you, one of the greatest ways to learn God's word is to be in a conversation with somebody. Well, what does the Bible say about this? And you can actually tell them what the Bible says about it. And if you don't know, it's an honest thing to say, you know, let me find out and I'll tell you. Let me find out. Get a hold of Google. It's over there. Get a hold of Google. Google is a handy woman sometimes. What's her name? Siri? Siri? She doesn't like me most of the time. But if you have purpose, if you find the spot, and you realize, I'm not, what did it say in the story? Jesus was going through. But when he came to the spot that God ordains for you to have influence over someone. Do you want that? Now listen to the rest of the story. He said, all of the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be a guest of a sinner. By the way, we are all that. Outside of the blood of Jesus Christ, right? And yet he abides with me. I'm a wretched sinner. It's just like anyone else, forgiven, brought into right relationship with him, and I need him every day. That Old Testament covenant with Abraham, I'm a product of that. I'm a product of that. That Hebrew covenant with Abraham and Sarah, I'm a product of that because the Savior sent the bloodline, the seed, through that covenant, didn't he, Pastor Harvey? Rabbi Harvey. He sent the bloodline through that. His name is Jesus. And then he adopted me into his family. I'm a product of that covenant. Isn't that a great thing? So listen to this. He says, but Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, Lord, Lord. Now there's two Lord, Lords there. Okay. There's two. Again, like last week, I don't know how many times he cried out, Lord. It was worth noting he at least cried it out twice. Lord. Lord, now listen, that's words of impact, by the way. Get the picture. He's already being impacted and influenced by Jesus. He said, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to your house. Because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, here's his purpose, and here is your purpose. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Bow your heads with me, if you would. He gave away his purpose. Number one, his purpose was Zacchaeus. Why? Because he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And when he got to the spot, that God ordained for him to be at, of influence, Jesus took action. And today I just simply want to ask you, do you, number one, love people enough to influence them? That's a powerful question. I'm not saying you're rooting for them. You just yeah, of course, I want them to go to heaven. No. Do you love them enough for you to influence them? To actually, as Jesus did, get in their lives today. Do you love people enough to do that? And if you're hesitating on that, let me jump to the second question. Do you see them as worth influencing? Because if you're struggling with the first answer of yes, maybe you don't see them as worth that of your time. I'm busy. I'm a parent. I'm a grandparent. I'm a busy, successful businessman. I've got a lot of responsibilities, but that name is not written in the book of life yet. And those excuses will not excuse the fact that Jesus brought me to a spot and I refuse to look up into the tree and call Zacchaeus by name and to get into the Zacchaeuses of this world's life. You see, God's placed me in this spot today. God's placed you in this spot today. There are people in this room that need influencing today for Jesus Christ. They need to know that you love them enough to impact them. They need to know that you value them and see them as worthy of your time and of your words and of your energy today. No one's looking around. I just want to ask you, as the music's playing, just want to ask you something. Do you want to ask God today to start showing you the spot and the person at that spot? If that's you, I want you to just raise your hand and keep it up. Just raise your, God, start showing me the spot and start showing me the people. Start showing me the spot and start showing me the people. Some of you's already doing it. I know that because I've heard the stories in your lives. But today, if that's you, Lord, show me the spot. Point the spot out to me. This is where you brought me to. And show me who the Zacchaeus is in the story. Because I'm about to impact someone's life to where they once were lost, but now they are found by Jesus Christ. Today, I want to sow some seed so we can reap some harvest of names being written in the book of life. Today, Lord, show me the spot and show me my person. Show me the spot and show me my Zacchaeus. If that's you today, raise your hand really high because I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, today there are those that have their hands are held high. No one's looking around. Their hands are held high. I want to start actually being an influence in people's lives. I don't want to just do life and have some good friends, have a few thousand on Facebook. I want to actually get involved in a few lives that I can actually bring the real Jesus and they actually won't see obstacles in their way, but that I can clear the obstacles as to who the real Jesus is and they'll discover the Master so powerfully transforming that they will say, as of this day, for this day, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Bless those whose hands are raised. God, they're serious about impacting people around their lives, in their life journey. I ask it now that you've done that, Lord, empower them to do so. Empower them to do so. Empower them to do so. God, impassion them. Put passion within them that they would not walk past a tree with a person looking down on them. That they would look up at every tree, every glance. They would look around and wonder, is that the person? Is that give them this instinct, the Spirit of God instinct that is that I'm to be looking always for the person that I'm supposed to be impacting, either by a smile or by kind words or a generous tip because a server may really be struggling. God, teach me to be sensitive to what it is that today they need to see the real Jesus. It looks different for everyone. Everyone, it really looks different for them. But God, show me and make me sensitive to what it looks like in every scenario. In this story, it was a wealthy man. But a dishonest man. In someone else's story, it may be someone that's very honest and yet they're poor. And they have nothing that it looks like to give back to me. But Lord, teach me to be compassionate towards those who have nothing in the world to benefit from me. But because you love them, I'm going to love them. And because you love them, I'm going to set myself aside and decide to go to the spot and meet them there in the name of Jesus Christ. How many names could be written in the book of life because of these hands that are raised. In the name of Jesus, give the Lord a huge hand, guys. He is the one who walked up to the tree is in the room. I said, did you hear me? I said, the one who walked up to the tree is in the room. He's in the house. The one who walked up to the tree and called Zacchaeus out of the tree, he's still in the house. And he's calling you. He's calling you, Pastor Mike.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.